Hi, I'm Gil Headley, and I'm the proud sponsor of the Anatomy and Movement Channel. Welcome. This conference is important. It's both groundbreaking and ground-building. Literally hundreds of thousands of us have gathered here to expand our experience of embodiment, and in so doing, evolve the embodied experience of our world. Embodiment is a practice that anchors us consciously into that which is common to us all, our human body. Regardless of our differences, and we have them, we all live out our lives in a body, and we're all connected by that shared experience. I've been developing integral anatomy for the past 25 years. I believe the human body is not a problem to be solved, but rather a gift to be received and explored. Integral anatomy is an approach to understanding the whole body, which emphasizes textural layers, continuities, and relationships. We notice differences not to create separation, but to appreciate that which unites us all. I'll be presenting here on the Anatomy and Movement Channel, as well as on the main stage, and I hope you'll join me to explore the heart of inner space. And for further study with me, check out my website, gilheadley.com. When you join my site, you'll automatically receive 3 free full-length courses because I'm on a mission to share what I've learned through my own deep exploration of the human form. And I'm certain that these courses will enhance and transform your own embodiment practice. I hope you enjoy the presentation.
Emery Moore is an internationally renowned, multi-certified exercise and movement teacher with over 30 years' experience in a myriad of disciplines, ranging from Chinese to Japanese martial arts, Qigong, Pilates, dance, yoga, strength and conditioning, and capoeira. A pioneer and innovator, he has created his own technique, the EM technique, which is a method of exercise and movement techniques focusing on holistic fitness and harmony. He's taught and trained scores of teachers in the United States. He's been featured in the New York Times, Self Magazine, Time Out, W Magazine, and FoxNews.com. And he has trained highly sought after Olympic athletes, professional dancers, and celebrities like Jennifer Lopez and Sean Combs. So without further ado, Emery Moore, take us forward.
Thank you so much for that. I thought I had given another bio. I hate that bio, but anyway, thank you. I trained a lot. I know some stuff. I'm here to share with you guys today. And thank you guys for having me. So we have a lot to do today, and I'm going to try and compartmentalize that. The first thing I want to do is dedicate this to 3 of my teachers, to Jalome Vieira and to Kathy Stanford Grant, rest her soul, and to Professor Ronald Duncan, rest his soul. I like to do that just to let people know that the work is anchored in the ones who came before us, and that's where we're standing. We're standing on their shoulders. We didn't just wake up in the morning and become brilliant. We had to work for it with people who passed all the knowledge. So first thing I like to do is I always like to start with the breath because I feel like that starts to connect us. And then from there, we'll start working anyway. And this is gonna be a hybrid. So it's gonna be a little bit of movement. The idea of the hybrid is that you get to experience the principles through the actual work as opposed to me just blah, blah, blah. Also, I like to see people. So the more of you who can pop up on my screen, the happier I will be because I don't like to just run my mouth and pretend like, you know, I'm seeing people because I like to actually see you do it and be able to correct you. So if there's any way I can see folks, that would be great for me. So having said that, we can start out with something really simple, which I'm sure you're all familiar with, but let's just do it really quickly anyway. Place your left hand on your abdomen and your right hand on your chest. Inhaling primarily through the nose, unless you have an obstruction, and exhaling primarily through the nose, unless you have an obstruction. So when you inhale, I want your left hand to actually move out. In other words, you're going to allow your abdomen to swell. And as you exhale, you're going to draw your navel in. So as you draw the navel in towards the center, you'll feel your left hand going in towards the center and you'll feel this stability and you'll feel the deeper muscles working. Inhale and allow it to expand. If you're good at this, then you can expand side, front, and back. If you're just playing around with it for the first time, just expand front. Let's just do 2 more. As you exhale, your left hand goes in deeper. The right hand is not moving. That's why you have it on your chest, to be able to perceive if the breath is going deeper instead of doing the chest breathing or a little shallower breath. One more time. As you exhale this time, try to deepen the contraction, feel the deeper muscles pulling, feel the abdominis contracting, and feel the support facilitated by it. Marvelous. Could everybody do that? Okay, I guess I'm not gonna get that much feedback. So I don't know, Riff, if you can whip it up so that I could get some feedback from folks or see folks, but it would be great. So I'm gonna go into the next piece where I'm just gonna move back a bit. Okay, I saw a yes, everybody could do that. That's great. Now, if you can't see me or something like that, let me know, because I broke into this abandoned building for this seminar and I'm on the run. So if I have to remove quickly, I'm ready to do that. So just if you can't see me, just let me know. So let me tilt this down a bit. Simple stuff. Make sure both feet are facing forward and the knees are soft. So parallel, basically, is the feet are underneath the shoulders and in line with their hips, and the knees are soft, which means they're slightly released. Good. Place the hands on the hips, drop the elbows, drop the shoulders as a result of dropping the elbows, and tap the skull, and feel yourself growing up to that vertical axis. I'm a little bit tilted forward just because my camera is down, so don't let that throw you off in terms of my own personal anatomy right now. I just definitely want you to be stacked with your chin slightly down and your shoulders down and you're feeling grounded into the floor. Simple stuff. I just want you to move your eyes to the left and then move your head to the left. Move your eyes to the right and move your head to the right. And move your eyes to the left and move your head to the right. Excuse me. If you are okay with this, then I want you to do 8 counts as fast as you can see. So what it means is, you take a snapshot, I can see it. I shift, I take a snapshot, I can see it, and then I come back to the center. So practically it looks like this. And that's as fast as I can move while taking the picture and getting a clear shot each time and keeping my anatomy with my chin down slightly so the back of my neck is open. So please give that a shot right now. So it's un deux trois quatre cinq six sept. We invite you to come on to, oh, okay. All right, so could everybody do that? Marvelous. Now, the idea of having done that was just to center yourself, and now we're gonna play with some things. So with the feet facing forward, the knees are soft, I want you to interlock your fingers, just like I'm doing. And if this is the comfortable side for you, then switch to the side that isn't comfortable. So in other words, if your right pinky's on the outside and that feels good, switch it so the left pinky's on the outside, just to give it a little bit of variety. Place the palms on top of the head and allow the shoulders to drop, the elbows drop. And as you inhale, press the palms up to the ceiling. The abdominal goes in, the breath goes out, and I just want you to rotate the whole body. Back to the center. A little higher, and then rotate the whole body. Back to the center, a little higher, rotate the whole body. Back to the center, a little higher, rotate the whole body. One more time, rotate the whole body. One more time, rotate the whole body. And then just release the arms. So coming back to the center, keep the knees soft, draw everything upward as you inhale, hold the breath, and then release down. Draw everything up, inhale, exhale, and release down. Now this time, I want you to take your imagination, and I want you to think about actually sending the energy down through the feet. So when I say energy, pick a color, pick a form, anything that helps you to focus the intention, the energy will literally be drawn. Literally be sent down. So sometimes this is more difficult when you don't have a picture. So imagine something that's concrete enough for you to focus it downward. Draw everything up. So you're drawing that color upward, and now exhale and you draw it down and you let it go through the feet. One more time with that in mind, inhale, lift, exhale, and release down. Marvelous. So I need to see some folks because this is getting too weird. without seeing somebody. So if you wouldn't mind switching back, or if I have to switch to a view, let me know. Is anybody up there? Oh, there you are.
A few of us in the room. Can you not see us right now?
Yeah, I can see you now. I had to switch back because, so for me, I'm a teacher and I love to interact with my students. And so it's a very simple thing that we did. And most of the things that I show are very simple, but it does not mean that it is easy by any stretch of the imagination, nor does it mean that in its simplicity, it doesn't have multiple layers. So let's just play around with the idea of the principles that we just messed with. So the first thing is by connecting with the breath, you're actually able to control the density of your body, and you're able to control the pressure of the body, what you can actually push out into the world and what you can receive. In other words, you're able to dissipate force on your torso and your body, and you're actually able to then express that force out into the world. And that's what we call power. And that's relevant in that every time we do something, as simplistic as opening a door, we're expressing power out into the world. Every time we even shake a hand or are pushed upon, we're receiving and we're dissipating power. So the idea is that you should be able to manipulate these forces by control of your basic anatomy. The breath is the key to this because it's kind of the language that the body speaks. And if you're not speaking breath, your body's kind of like, it doesn't really know what to do. So you're always either playing catch up, you're either too far ahead or too far behind. And a perfect example of that would be if you, I don't know, have to run for the bus or whatever, and you find yourself out of breath, or you have to climb like 5 flights of stairs, but you have to stop on the 3rd landing instead of being able to moderate and get to the top. That may have to do with conditioning, but more often than not, it has to do with lack of control. It has to do with lack of mindfulness in relation to intentionally controlling the air in your body so that you have enough juice to do what you need to do. Then as you get better trained, then obviously that becomes more of a normal natural processes. So I'm big into vertical axes because vertical axes are really important. I'm gonna use my cane. I'm actually have a slight knee injury that I'm recovering from, but I'm gonna use this as my prop. So what we did when we did the expansion upward and we did the rotation, the idea was to get this kind of physics happening in the body. And it's really hard to demonstrate that this cane is straight up and down. So I'll put it on an angle so you can see the difference. This is what happens if you break from the hip and you're leaning forward. And so the force on the base is going to be different. And so if I rotate back to center and I move it, you can see that the force is a little bit more uniform. So if these are let's say these are the arms or the shoulders, by doing this, you're actually expressing power out of those shoulders and arms. And the more efficient you are at it, the more relaxed you are, the more you're able to actually release out into the world. And if something is pressing on you, the more you can dissipate that force on your body. And that's a very simplistic way of explaining what you can do with your entire body. Because as you get good at it, you can express this from anything that you have. Sitting, standing, laying, upside down, right side up, doesn't matter. So let's play around with something. And then I'll ask for some questions if you don't mind. I don't know what you have laying around, but see if you can just grab something. Doesn't matter to me, something about this large. Doesn't have to be heavy. As a matter of fact, it shouldn't be too heavy because you're not gonna be able to pull this off. I love to just use whatever happens to be laying around. So just grab something that's laying around and I'll do the same thing. Oh, that's the benefits of breaking into an abandoned building. Look what I found. Okay. So this is hard what I'm about to show you. And I'm gonna show you from the side so you'll know how crazy it is, but you'll see my point after we play with it. Okay, I think everybody can see. Now you see I'm not touching the seat back, so I have some space. I'm going to tap myself on the head so I create a vertical axis. So I tap myself, remove my hand because that's what I'm going to grow to. So just try that. Just tap yourself, remove it, and then grow to that. Tap, tap, remove, grow. Try not to look in the camera as you do it because that's going to change the axis. Everybody looks good. So can you unmute just really quickly and tell me where that started from, where that origin of that movement was from? What did you have to engage in order to grow? Can anybody just come back with me real quick?
Primary mid-back for me.
Okay.
Me was more like reaching from the top of my head, like okay. With imagination.
But what did you engage? What muscular system actually facilitated the ability to grow?
My core, my center.
Abby, you said abdominal?
Yeah, and my spinal muscles, they seems like they lengthened.
Right, so it's the rectus basically, and maybe the diaphragm. And so as you fire that, you get a lengthening in the posterior musculature. Because as you know, as you close the front, you open the back, right? So you shouldn't have really have been using your spinal erectus per se, because that means you would have been taken into an extension, which is really a curve. So I throw these out to play with it just because it's years and years of teaching has taught me to get people to actually engage and utilize the right things. You just have to trick them the right way. And I don't really like to go into anatomy too much for people who aren't teachers, because I think it detracts from the user's manual of the body. I think that feeling is a lot more instrumental in the experience. And if we can touch into the feeling, then we can actually get the motion from the right place. And that's called initiation, movement initiation. And movement initiation is really important. And by doing that little trick, there's another thing you did too, which was, there's a lot of things you didn't do. And it saves me from having to say, drop the shoulders, do this, relax the face, relax the feet. Oh, you're over-rotated, you're leaning forward, you're leaning back. So all those things are implicit just in following that feeling. And then the sensitivity for you also has increased, because now you know where to find your vertical all day, every day. Because you can do that at any time. So that's for you guys. So now let's play with it. You're going to hold the vertical, which means you're going to really have to work a little bit deeper in here to keep this contraction the entire time that you do this exercise. So your breathing is going to have to go to the sides and to the back, as opposed to allowing your abdominal to release. And yes, this is a very, very fast lesson. This is something that normally I would take a lot of time with people to do, but with you guys, I just want you to experience it. Okay, make sense? Everybody game? Cool. So remember I said this was hard. And when I say it's hard, it generally turns out to be hard, but that doesn't mean it isn't gonna be fun. So let's try something impossible. So watch me first and then I'll watch you. So the idea is I'm just gonna fire my center and I'm gonna release it just so you can see the difference. Firing it, letting it go. And I promise you, I'm not moving my hips. I'm literally firing my abdominal, and that creates the stability even in my psoas. So I'm releasing and I'm firing. So now I'm gonna fire these and I'm gonna keep them contracted the whole time. So he's like, well, he's talking. How is that possible? Oh my God, is he human? Yes, most of the time. So my abdominals stay contracted. Where does the air come from? Well, I'm putting the air in the side and I'm putting the air in the back and I'm utilizing the rest of my lung space, but I'm keeping that contraction. So why am I doing all this? Everybody can see this? Okay. So I'm gonna do ballet arms, right? Now I'm gonna lock into my vertical and I'm going to lift without going backward and without going forward and without changing the relationship of my shoulders, without moving my chin, my neck, without basically using anything other than my center connection to my limbs. And I'm going to bring it back to center. You guys want to see it again? I can't see you, so you got to say yes or no.
Yes, please.
All right. Chin down, locked in, abdominals hitting, bam. Ballet arms, beautiful, bam. Lift. This is for you, Kathy, if you're out there in the stratosphere somewhere. And back to center. Now I'm going to release and come back to normal. Now I'm going to watch you do it. Oh, you couldn't wait, could you? You just had to go ahead and do it without me. All right. Let's get on. Shoulders down, chin down slightly. That opens the back of the neck. Breathing only through the nose. But before you do it, you have to imagine that the motion is from the center, of the center, and by the center. From the center, of the center, and by the center. And you have to stop when you feel yourself rocking back to give yourself a mechanical advantage. The only advantage you get is connection. This is about connection, not about getting a mechanical advantage by changing the plane. Stay in the same plane, connect the center to the limbs, and experience a power that you have in your body that now, once I give it to you, you're never going to forget this. You're going to be much more powerful as a result of this thing. You're going to walk out of here and you're going to hulk out on people. People are going to be scared of you now. You might even turn green occasionally. So there you go. Green's my favorite color, just so you know. I see Abby's got a like nice color palette back there. And the green is just above the yellow, and that's my favorite one. Now remember, do not lean backwards. Keep the shoulders down. The trapezius is on vacation. The abdominal should be working. And the higher those arms get, the more contraction you should need. You should pull your navel in so hard you tear a hole through your back and it hits the wall behind you and maybe even takes out an insect population. Maybe even a neighbor. Ms. Forrest, you're jutting your chin forward and you've changed your plane because you're now fatigued. And everybody stop. Told you it was hard.
Twice, third time.
Can I get some feedback? What you thinking?
I love by putting the attention to where the movement comes from and then going inward and really having that come from there. Yeah, it's really cool to figure that out.
Did you understand the principle that we're playing with?
Yeah.
Can Flora?
Flora.
Can you articulate the principle?
You mean like if I can articulate with words, you mean?
Yes.
Or if principle. I can feel it in my body.
What principle are we playing with? What principles are we playing with? But what ideas are we playing with?
With activating the center in order to release as much tension as possible that is not necessary to do a certain movement.
So movement efficiency. What you got for me, Abby? What do you think? What principles are we playing with? Give me another one.
I'm guessing eccentric, concentric, and isometric.
That's interesting because I wouldn't say isometric per se, because in my mind, you can infinitely contract. So I've convinced myself that if I continue to contract, I can actually create a black hole and destroy the known universe. So the idea is that there is no limitation in your mind about how much contraction you can facilitate. It's just a matter of duration, practice, and intention. And one thing I see with people that I don't like is that they're constantly overutilizing that muscle as if they always have to go to 100. And one thing I like about this exercise, which I got from Kathy Grant years ago when we were doing a session, is that you learn to modulate the amount of contraction you need to facilitate and stabilize. So too much, too little is the same problem. If you're compressing too much and you don't have to, you're wasting energy. And sometimes a waste of energy can be even fatal depending on what you're doing, because I climb mountains and things like that and spend a lot of time in the backcountry. So if you wear yourself out, you may not get home. And also in a practical sense, if you're doing manual labor and you have to do something every day over and over, conservation and efficiency becomes the watchword. And as we get older, it is a fundamental principle for longevity that you do not use your body too much, particularly in the younger years, because that's what's going to show up in the later years. And our culture in Western culture is a culture of deprivation. It's a culture of expenditure. It's not a culture of conservation. So from Chinese medicine, we think about, it's like a bank. And you're given a certain amount of money, and that's your entire life. And if you spend that all in your 20s, if you get to your 30s, you're going to be jacked up. So the idea is to utilize efficiency. And it also makes you more powerful, because that makes you have to learn focus, so that when you do release, it's much more, it's more like a laser beam, not a flashlight. Everybody understand that? Now, power in the body is very interesting, because we can generate power in a lot of different planes. And if you're good at this, you should be able to generate power in 10 different directions. That's front, back, side to side, bisecting those angles, which is boom, boom, back end, up and down. That's the 10. So I can show you just really quickly just the angles, so you won't have to wonder what is the crazy man talking about. So front, back, if I step forward, I've issued power front. Back, I've issued power back. Side, I've issued power side. Side, I've issued power side. Diagonal front. Diagonal front, diagonal back, diagonal back, and up and down. And when I say up and down, you can express power in both directions. You can express power lifting, and you can express power lowering, which is what we did with that release, which is one of my favorite ways. I use that all the time. When you can open a can of peanut butter with that one going down, then you may leave, grasshopper. So I'll show you something. Since I broke into this person's home, I'm not that concerned about the damage I may be doing. So this here looks like to be a radiator. I'll show you what I mean about expressing power downward. And I'll show you one more time. So you could see I was able to generate a lot of juice with not a lot of movement. I'm actually seated, right? If I was standing and collapsed, I might have broken this thing. Make sense? So every vector has the ability to focus and generate power and force if the anatomy, the dynamic anatomy, is set up right, because you have to maintain that anatomy through the full range, and you have to understand it dynamically, because we're not statues. Does that make sense to everybody? So in other words, you have to do, you know, the shoulders, the hips, the knees, all the things that we express power from have to be in harmony. So can we play with one more? Because I see it's 43 minutes. Can we play with one more? We got time to play with one more? This one's even harder. Let's do it anyway. So we're keeping the same idea. So we play with the stabilization and the anchoring and the understanding that we can facilitate the lift coming from the center. And by the way, this is just the very, 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 very beginning of understanding what we can do with this, right? I would take you much further if we were continuing on with the lesson. So let's play with a rotation, okay? So for that, up, look what I found in the abandoned building. This is much heavier, by the way. So I'm gonna cheat a little bit and do palms up, but I'm gonna connect to my anatomy so that it doesn't matter how heavy it is. So I'm gonna connect center. I'm gonna do vertical axis, chin down slightly to make my anatomy whole. And now I'm gonna rotate. And back. I'm gonna rotate. And back. And I'll show you with ballet arms because it's more aesthetically pleasing, for goodness sakes. We have to stay beautiful after all. So, did you see how my range of motion changed when the object wasn't as heavy? Why do you think that is? Why do you think my range was different? Come on, quick. I know you guys are smart. Hit me.
Because you also have to deal with gravity at the same time?
Yes, but why did my range change?
Because you have a force and this force at the same time.
Because the force was overcoming my ability to stabilize, and I'm smart. Because if I wasn't smart, I would have allowed myself to cheat.
Right.
And if I cheat, it transfers the force to another structure in my body that may not be equipped to handle that force.
Right.
So I limited the rotation based on what my ability was at the moment. If I did that rotation a few more times, you would have seen an increase in my rotation because my nervous system would have been, it would have learned, it would have created a better pathway. That makes sense?
Yes.
So you're always constantly checking in to see when you're playing on the razor's edge, right? Because I'm not trying to destroy my vertebra just while I'm doing a demonstration for you guys. So play with it. Lock in, chin down, abdominals engaged, shoulders down, big smile on the face, breathing through the nose, if possible only, and then rotate. The eyes stay forward, your nose should be really in between your hands. So if you start to turn your head, then you know you're not really moving in one piece. I'm really trying to get you to move more from the center body, from the thoracic, than I am the cervical. So don't engage the cervical if you can help it. The chin is slightly down, the neck is long. And then when you make your rotations, you're really just coming from the thoracic cavity because the lumbar doesn't really have that ability. So don't ever try to force your lumbar to rotate because you're going to get a surprise. Probably sirens and things like that, and hospitalization, and expensive therapy with. Marvelous. And the breath basically is always in line, in combination, in harmony with the motion. And so when you run out of air, you stop the motion and you return. Or you do a double exhale, which you can exhale returning, you can exhale leaving. Depends on what you want to do with it. So I think we're at 48 minutes, and I don't know how much more time we have, but I'd like to open it for questions and have a discussion. How much time do we have left, Rafe?
It's actually 12:35 according to my clock, so there is 25 more minutes.
Oh, really? Oh, I'm so happy right now. Oh, that's right, because the clock started when we started the whole thing. Okay. Ausgezeichnet. Wunderbar. Okay. So, tell me something. Who's got questions? We can play with some other stuff. I'm so happy right now I can spit.
I have parasympathetic nerve damage, which meant, and on my right side, I had an old accident, so I lost the feeling to warm up my leg. And actually, the kind of knowledge that you're sharing is what made me be able to walk without being able to feel my feet, by putting impulses where I was able to feel so that I could propel myself forward. And by using, we can use the wall to get to the wall. And it's really fascinating when you start to play with the nervous system and intention together.
Yes.
So this is really great as well. And I'm going to remember this, because one of the things I had to also have this opened up. So one of the things is it will help me get even more strength. So thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing that. And this is what moves me with the work. I often say to my teachers that anybody can work with somebody who doesn't have any problems, but everybody has problems or the potential to develop them. And what we do with people sets people up for success or failure. And a lot of times people will not even know that it was you that caused the damage, because it may happen 10 years later because you created a false base. You can't get a good fruit from a rotten tree. And so this work for me has also helped me in my life, because I've had numerous injuries, uncountable at this point. I know I'm extremely good looking, so I look younger than I am, but I've been on the planet a while, and I assure you, I have used my body to its fullest. I've broken at least 6 or 7 bones that I remember, tore everything, had all kinds of injuries related to, you know, percussive accidents, et cetera, et cetera. And so I, knock on wood, am still very much active and able to do the things I love. But my favorite is the therapeutic application of this work. That is my absolute favorite, because to me, it is the greatest demonstration of what it really is and can be. And when I say therapeutic, then we're talking about also the enhancement of function, because the maintenance of function and the enhancement of function are almost simultaneously, they're inextricably intertwined. And I work with people who had to teach them how to walk again and things that were very severe. So thank you for sharing that, because that's why we do this work, and that's why this work is so important for humanity. You know. So let me just break down what I was after when I was doing that. So a vertical axis is important for a lot of reasons. The first reason is that the spinal column, as you know, is like a string of pearls. And if the muscles aren't strong, 360 degrees, right? I have my hand, my fingers, I'm gonna put it like this. I have my fingers around this so you can see this is a 360 degree wrap. So let's say, for instance, that you have weak abdominals. Then that means that center is less likely to be able to accommodate force coming that way. If you have weakness with the lateral aspect, then it's less likely to accommodate force laterally, et cetera. If you have posterior musculature that aren't doing their job, then you also have a stability issue there. Or I liken it to, if you were building a house, would you be happy if the columns that supported your house were only strong in the front, and it's a column, or they were only strong on the sides, but the front and back were weak? And so what happens with the human body, since we are dynamic, when we put forces on the structure, it changes depending on a number of factors, and it's crazy complex, even just standing and sitting, how the dissipation and where the power goes and where the force goes. So in order to ensure that we're okay, you have to think about 360. The front is not more important than the back, and the sides are not more important than the front. And that's why training for aesthetics, to me, is the height of I'm just gonna say it, it's the height of stupidity, right? When we train for the outside, you're just asking for it. because you're biasing the body towards injury. You're deciding that this musculature is more important than that musculature, but you're not deciding it based on function. You're deciding it based on what you can see in the mirror. And that's just ridiculous. That's like you get your car and you decide, well, you know, the engine is making the front bulge out, so we don't need that. You know, it's just, we conform to the forces on us, not the other way around, you know? So I'm saying that to say the vertical is important to create space. If you rotate without a vertical axis, you create friction. If you continue to do repetition and you have friction, you break down the structures intrinsically and that causes permanent damage. So I'll say that again. If you rotate the structures and you don't have space, you create friction and you create permanent damage. That doesn't matter where it is. In any joint, that's what can happen. And so repetition then becomes your enemy. So those of you who run, that becomes your enemy. Those of you who do elliptical or do any fixed exercise over and over and over, and you're unable to maintain space, that becomes your enemy. The thing that you think is your friend is the thing that's breaking you down. It's like taking sandpaper to the articulative structures and just rubbing them over. Only how many times are you doing this? How many times do you rotate in a day? Imagine if you are a waiter. How many times do you rotate in a day? Imagine if you're a golfer, a construction worker, even somebody who's working in computers in an office answering phones. How many times do we rotate? So if you're not intrinsically enacting that lift when you turn and loving that lift when you turn and maintaining that lift when you turn, you're rubbing. Don't be a rubber. Nobody likes a rubber. You want freedom, not compression. Okay, so that's one reason why we play with the vertical, okay? That we maintain a vertical axis when we move, and why techniques like Pilates and gyrotonic expansion and even Alexander technique and even things like Aikido and Jiu-Jitsu and things like that, they emphasize creating space when you move if you have good teachers. I have to preface that because things have changed nowadays and it becomes more about the teacher than it does the technique. So this is really about the information. So the other thing is, rotationally, I'll train this plane. When we rotate, we're issuing power in this plane of motion, right? Like a bicycle handle, like this rope. This is where we're, and this should look familiar to you if you walk, because this is what happens when we walk. But when we rotate on purpose, and we release, that becomes very, very useful. Very useful. So just think about that one. All right. So let's stand up because we have more time. We have more time. So remember I talked about the 10 directions? So let's play with something that's one of my absolute favorite, most delightful things to do in the whole world, called stepping drills. I know I'm a very strange person. It's like, that's what you like? It's like, yeah, I kind of do. So in parallel, which means that your feet are underneath your shoulders, underneath your hips, everything's in line, soften your knees. And this is a posture that I call a natural posture or ready posture. In this posture, you should be able to move in any direction you want with complete freedom and complete security. So that's why these are so important. So we're just gonna do something really simple. We're gonna step forward with the left leg, allow the right leg to slightly turn out the 30 degrees, soften the knee, and just stay. Now, I want you to see if you can find center and see if you can perceive if you're putting more weight on the back foot versus the front foot. And if you are, change that. And vice versa. If you're putting more weight on the back foot versus the front foot, change that. See if you can find middle, center. And this foot that you step forward with, it didn't go left or right. It went straight out. So it should be in the same position it was when you started. That's why this stuff is hard. So in other words, my knee should be in the same relation to my shoulder. And the opposite leg is slightly turned out with the knee bent to reduce that friction that we just talked about. Now you're going to return to where you came from by pushing off the front leg. So you're going to push off the front foot, but you're not going to go forward. You're in a house full of razor blades. If your knee goes forward, it gets cut. If your nose gets forward, it gets cut. So you're going to push back and return perfectly to that ready position that you started from. This is how I need rehab knees. This is how we find out about, you know, all kinds of issues, and then we can correct them. Soften again, feel the floor with your feet. Opposite side, step forward, boom. And the left side now is turned out, the knee is soft, and now we're dealing with, do we have a 50-50 relationship? Are we in the middle? Do we feel like we're in the middle? Because we're probably not, but at least we're gonna try and feel like we're in the middle. Now, when you get ready to return, you push off that front leg and you go right back. And both feet now are still facing forward. So you've made that adjustment, okay? Now I'm telling you, this is something that we do. It takes time to do this. So please, again, I know it's simplistic, but it takes a while to get the chain in the body. Now, we're gonna do the same thing on the left diagonal. The left foot stepped out on the diagonal. This time you don't have to worry about rotating that back leg. You just step forward on the diagonal. So you bisected the ankle. See if you're 50-50, chin slightly down, gazes in the direction you're going, and now return the way you came, both feet forward, and let's speed it up a little bit. It's because shift right side diagonal, 50-50, very little adjustment, push back, boom, you're in the center again. Now let's get off the center line, moving left lateral. Keep the knees soft, and you should be in an identical ready position off the line. So that's where you were. If a car came, if a bicycle came, it wouldn't matter because you're not there anymore. Now, if a car is coming here, you go back on the center, it wouldn't matter because you're not there anymore. Make sense? I think I have enough room. Move right, off center, still in the ready position, both feet forward, soft and ready. I accommodated because I knew this wall was here. Now, boom, back to the center line, and we're in the actual position that we started. Everything's beautiful. The hair is still in place. Now here's the scary one. I don't know what your room looks like, so feel that you can move backwards safely. Step back, just one leg. The back knee is soft. It's turned out to that 30 degrees that we talked about. The knee is in line with the second toe if possible. And now we turn and then change legs. And now return. And now left diagonal, left foot moves, shift. And now return. And then right foot diagonal, shift. And now return. And that's the eight. That's the eight fundamental directions that we have at our disposal, from which we should always be able to move at any time from a position of safety to a position of safety. And if you want to do rotations, if you want to step back and forwards, All of those things are in there. But what's interesting is that we can also vector force. So funny enough, in this abandoned building, I found somebody must have been here exercising and left some bands. So look what I found. So I'm just doing this just to demonstrate something to you, okay? So you see my arms at my sides? You see my elbows? I'm gonna glue them to my rib cage, okay? Now, I'm not pulling my arms back, but I want you to see that when I step back, the bands are tighter, and when I step forward, I'm still locked into my center, right? I'm not allowing myself to be pulled forward. If I step to the side, if I step forward, if I step back on the other side, if I step on the diagonal, it shouldn't matter. Does that make sense to everybody? How much time do I have left, Rafe?
Not much. There's one more question we can ask, and then we got to go to our outro.
Let me explain really quick then. So this is the long and short of why I did this, because the eight directions allow us to vector power. You move forward, you can push. You move back, you can pull. You move on either diagonal, you can focus the vector of force in those directions. Also, if you're doing rehabilitation for the knee or working on the anatomical structure and movement, you can really work the entire body, train the entire body in those positions. Just something as simple as starting to add resistance, putting weights in the hands, you know, that you can change the size of the weights based on what you're doing, so that you can actually increase, so that when you're going supermarket shopping, you have two bags in your hand, it's no big deal. So you should always be able to do all of these exercises as if you're walking on a frozen lake. And I don't know if you have any frozen lakes handy, but I generally do. And I can tell you that there's no reason for you ever to have a problem walking across a frozen lake. You should be able to shift, move, turn, and step. And that's the same feeling that you have when you're doing these exercises, that you're very centered, that you know you're in the middle. So if there's something as heavy as in your hand, it's not going to pull you forward. Your feet aren't going to come from under you. You're not going to slip back. And so moving in balance is something that you want to develop. Knowing when you are actually compromised is important, because that has a lot to do with your capacity, what we're actually able to do in the moment. And there's a lot of reasons why people get injured when they train and when they move through life. So quick question before Ray cuts me off. Quick question.
So the quick question was, why not the spa erector spinae when we're going up, right? When we're doing the tapping exercise and going up.
Say again?
Why not the erectors? Why are the erectors not what we're looking at when we're doing this exercise of stretching ourselves out towards the spine?
Because just what you did when you tapped yourself and you raised your chin, the erector spinae creates a spinal extension, which means we're in a backward curve. You look like a banana. You're not going up, you're going back. When the erectors fire, this is the motion. That's what they do, they extend the spine. And an extension of the spine is a misnomer, because extension doesn't mean up, it just means extending. So you're not really going into your vertical axis, you're just going into an extended spine. And an extended spine, depending on what you're doing, can also put you in a position of compromise, because you're at the end of the range of motion, it can't take anymore. So if you load an extended spine at the end of the range, you're asking for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. So one more question. I want you to try to do this in 1 minute. How do you make space in between the articulations?
Well, that is an intention. First, Joseph Pilates talked about this, and my teachers were very, shout out to Phoebe Higgins. adamant about working in the extension, it requires more effort initially because you have to really, really work harder. It's like taffy. It's like those bands. You have to work hard to maintain the extension no matter how far out you are. And that's why you may have to diminish the amount of resistance you work with. I see people working with far too much resistance now because they're overcoming their ability to maintain the internal extension. Also, that exercise we did, we were thinking about moving from here. The center is where you're able to move out from. You need an anchor. The center, the abdominis, the rectus abdominis and the gluteus maximus working together. If you're talking about a spinal extension, for instance, and you're doing anything to extend the spine and you're trying to strengthen the back, the glutes are very important that they wrap, that they fire and they come together and they hold the sacrum so that you can move away from the sacrum. So in other words, you always need an anchor, right? And for the limbs, the anchor is the center body. And for the center body, the anchor is the rectus abdominis. It's the universal stabilizer.
Excellent. Thank you very much for that. So if folks are interested in knowing more about Emory and working with Emory, there should be lots of links in the chat. emstudio.org, Instagram, Facebook,